I can't see you very well, but I'm sure that if I would ask for a show of hands, there would be very few if you had the perfect week. With nothing going wrong, nothing interrupting, nothing happening on your job or in your community or even in your family. We have problems even in church, don't we? Sometimes. So how do we get around this stuff? How do we deal with this stuff? And to be honest with you folks, I've had the most hectic week I've had in a long, long time. Something happening every day. And trying to prepare for today also. But things happen. So how do we cope with that? How do we get around that and make that work for us? There's nothing wrong with having problems if you have a solution for that, right? It's the unsolved things that go and grow bigger. Well, I have good news for you today. If you are a Christian with Christ, you are an overcomer. That sounds great, doesn't it? We all want to be overcomers. But we have to know how to get there. We have to know what to do. It says that we are overcomers now. Not that we will be. Not if we get our act together and we're an A1 plus Christian. If we don't sin, if we do these things right, that we will be an overcomer. Positionally, that's where you are now with God. You are an overcomer. You're someone that has achieved that status through Jesus Christ. It's not through our own power. It's not from all the study we do. It's not from anything that we do. It's through Christ. It says with Christ, you are an overcomer. I want us to look at some scripture this morning. In Romans 8, and it kind of explains those details. It explains what we go through and how we go through them. Romans 8, 31 and 32, 35 and 37. It asks questions, but it also gives us some answers. And you can look that up in your program if you have your Bible turned there in Romans 8. Or your phone app. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Folks, that's sound reading for any time and any problem that you have. But we do have hardships. I've heard this morning, we have... had things come up this week that may be a hardship or trouble. There may be in something unexpected. You know, you may have ran over a piece of glass and said, you know, there's two tires. I've got to buy a whole set now. I wasn't planning on that. That's an inconvenience. That's a problem. That's a hardship. Appliances go out. Man, I didn't even realize, and it just got me. I was in the hardware store some time back, and I just began to look at prices of a brand new refrigerator or a brand new oven, and oh wow, they've went up since we bought ours. I don't want to buy one, but if that thing goes out today, you've got to have one, right? At some point, you can go out and eat, but I mean that gets pricey too. But you would need that appliance to replace the one that has malfunctioned. That's a hardship. an auto accident. Maybe you didn't get hurt, but the car is all bent now. And you have to have that fixed. Wasn't expecting that either. So folks, how do we deal with these everyday things that pop up? How do we deal with hardship or trouble? Many of you may be in a lot more trouble than I even realized this morning. Problems that's come up or situations that have changed the whole impact of your lives. Persecution. I knew people were persecuted in our time today. But it saddens me that somebody can recite the Lord's Prayer and get ridiculed over that today and persecuted because all of America is not Christian. Maybe that's our problem, right? Maybe that's our problem. Your child goes to school and maybe she carries a little pocket testament to read at her convenience. And somebody's making fun of her for doing that. Why do you carry the Bible? Why is that a part of your life? Because it's important to a Christian. It's God's Word. Maybe you're a businessman and you had a situation come up, or a businesswoman, and you had a situation come up where you could have made a great profit. But because it was not morally sound with what you believe, you opted not to do that. You didn't want to overstep that. You didn't want to compromise what you believe, so you let it pass. And people think you're crazy for doing that. You can be persecuted in this day and time for what we believe and what we know to be sound. Famine. I hope no one in here this morning is hungry. If you are, that can be remedied after service. And I haven't noticed anyone naked when they came in today. Like I said, I can't see good, but I'm pretty sure there would have been some commotion to where we could have found that out. But so no one's hungry this morning, or no one's naked. But that hardship and that situation could be financial, right? It could be confusion or conflict with some of your family or relatives. It could be a situation at work that you just dread so much going in tomorrow and facing that again and again. It doesn't feel good when it says that with Christ you are an overcomer. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that. How in the world do we get to that point where we know it and we believe it? How do we get over these situations? It says danger or sword. Now, in this society today, I don't know of anyone that's been killed in this country for what they believe, a Christian. But in other countries, that does happen. You profess your faith and go out publicly with that, you could lose your life. That would put it to the test, wouldn't it? That would make us know or not know who we are in Christ. We get confused sometimes with who we are and who Christ is. We're attached to Him through the gift of God. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that gift was free, and we don't have to earn that. We don't have to work at all, folks. It's not a penalty, it's a gift. So we live it each day knowing that Christ has paid our debt. Christ has took us out of this danger element. But there could come a time, even in our lifetimes, when what you believe you stand up for, you could be ridiculed, you could be put in danger. Or be put to the sword. But Paul asked these questions: who can separate us from the love of Christ? If Christ is over all things, there's no one over Him to do that. If he is the sovereign authority of everything, no one can overrule that. So who can? Who is capable of separating us from the love of Christ? The answer is no one. It doesn't matter what comes, folks. It doesn't matter what situation arises. Christ is bigger than that. God is bigger than that. It's all about how we approach that as to how it resolves. If we have a resolution to a problem, it's not a problem anymore. Statistics show that 85% of the things that we worry about and are concerned about, they never happen. They never happen. So why do we worry over it? We spend 85% of our time for nothing then, right? That's wasted effort and time. So how do we combat those things and use our time in a constructive way for the glory of God? It takes practice. It takes work. It takes effort. Use that 85% we do worrying and put it to that. It's constructive. But Paul asked that question, who can separate us? Can these things separate us? He said, no. No, they cannot. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. I'm intrigued many times about things in this world, not abandoning Christ. But when it talks about conquerors, there's been many conquerors, even in our lifetime, that absolutely, when they marched on a country, they shook with fear. One of those was the Spartans. They believed that when they were born a warrior. They believed that their destiny was to fight and be a warrior of uncompromising grit. And they are very famous for the one-liners. It's been documented as proof and truth of what they say. Leonidas said to the king of Persia, Xerxes, he said, my army will be so great that when they send their arrows, it'll blot out the sun. One of the warriors said, then we'll fight in the shade. Spartan king said to another king that was kind of pairing off with him, trying to fill him out. He said, if I send my army to Sparta, if you see the multitude of people that I have and how strong they are physically and how brutal they are as a warrior, that will make you fear. If I start a war with you, there are going to be very many casualties. He said, now what is your response to that? The Spartan king said, if. That was his, you know, another king says, we want you to give us your weapons. They said, come and take them. That was their attitude towards all things. They believed that the Spartan women, they gave them a say. They had an equal say in everything. And enemies would ask them, why do you do that? Why does your women have so much authority? He said, because they're the only ones that give birth to real men. That was their attitude. All right, now that's in the Greek, and that's in the Spartan life. Let me give you a biblical example of that. Joshua. That guy had it going on from a youth. Remember the 10 spies that went into Canaan? He and Caleb were the only ones as a youth that come back and said, hey, we can take these guys. The rest said, no, we cannot. They're giants in that land. We can't do it. We might as well give up. And God said, okay. Remember that phrase we use sometimes, take another lap around the mountain. You haven't learned your lesson yet. Like football and baseball, take a lap if you mess up. Take another lap around the mountain. For 40 years, they took those laps around and around and around. But God still took care of them. He gave them food. He gave, and their shoes didn't even wear out. God protected them. But here's these two little youths, Joshua and Caleb. When they went into the promised land, he was a warrior. There was an instant, I believe it's Joshua 10, that told of five kings and five armies that come against them. And Joshua said, we can win. God would tell him, don't be afraid. I've already given them to you. Just go take them. I've already put them in your hand. Go take them. They begin to fight. And like five armies, five kings against Israel. It was getting down later in the day. And they're still slinging swords and doing their thing. Joshua said, there's no way we can finish this today. He said, God, I pray to you that the sun stops and the moon ceases where it's at. Give me time to get this job finished. And the sun stood still. It stopped. He had time and he finished that battle. And he wiped them out. That is a man of valor. Joshua's troops, anywhere they went for war, the people would quake. They would tremble in fear of who's coming. Hey, they got the God of Abraham on their side. This is Moses' God. We saw what he can do. It's claiming that authority, folks, with who you are, with God. It's living a life knowing God is in control. It doesn't matter how it looks to us. It doesn't matter the situation. God has got it. He always has. But Paul answered his own question. He said, there's no one can separate us from the love of God. It's not in our own strength, but it's in the power and through the power of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a little Greek word that it talks about a victorious or a winner, a victor. It's nikeo. That means to win, a victor, a victorious person, a conqueror. But that's not the word that's used in this text when it says that you're more than a conqueror. You'll see a word in a definition in here, hupernikeo. We'll say that several times this morning. Huper means hyper, exceedingly more. Exceedingly more. I've explained to you two different occasions where a conqueror was who he said he would be. One as a Gentile Greek and the other in biblical by Joshua. It says that this hupernikeo is to vanquish beyond recognition, gain a decisive victory exceedingly more than a conqueror. Exceedingly more. That's a lot. It's not just a conqueror. It's way more than that. So if we are to gain a victory, and we're to be in this same mode of thinking about, you know what? If God's for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Many times, folks, we wait. And I want to give you a couple of things. God is not meaning for you just to squeak by with a victory, just barely finish the race, barely cross the finish line. It's exceedingly well, exceedingly more than a conqueror. You're more than a winner. You're hooping the KO. You're a hyper winner, an exceeding winner because of Jesus Christ. You're going to demolish the situations around you through the power of God. You're going to walk over them, around them, or through them because of the power of God. And we're not talking about small victories. We're talking about absolutely obliterating the enemy. Remember when the Israelites came to the Red Sea, The chariots were coming from Pharaoh, and he was mad. He had changed his mind. The sea was at their back. Militarily, that would have been a stupid strategy for anybody. But it wasn't for God. The sea parted. The Israelites crossed with everything they plundered from Egypt. And when the Egyptians got there, the water came together and there were no more. Poof, they're gone. That is demolishing an enemy. That is vanquishing an enemy when you don't even see them anymore. They're gone. Remember the story of Gideon, Judges 6, 7, and 8? We can read that. That's more on my level when I get down to thinking about things. Not that I'm a Gideon, no, not at all. But when I think about him hiding to do his work, he was a timid little guy. He's not going to be like the Spartan or Joshua type guy. And the Lord said, "Hey, you mighty man of valor." He said, "Who, me? I'm afraid. I don't. He said, "I need you to take your army and you go and do battle. The Midianites." He said, "Well, hey, I ain't got about 32,000 men. They got way more than that." God said, "Yeah, you're right. That's too many. So we're going to test them and we're going to sift them till we get it down to a manageable number." Well, there were several procedures that God put them through. And he ended up with 300. God says, "Now we got the number we need to go do battle." Remember the story. Take your weapons and take pitchers and light and your horns. And they went in the middle of the night and they surrounded this Midianite camp. And he says, when I shout, break the pitcher so you see light, and then blow the horns. Folks, they didn't even go fight. The Midianites killed themselves off in the chaos and the calamity of night. They wiped themselves out. That is an exceeding victory. That's more than a conqueror. That's vanquishing and demolishing the enemy. That's supernikeo. That's something that's exceedingly more. I asked you when we started about having any problems this week. I call problems static, just something, interference. When things are messing with you and you can't focus or you can't get things organized right. Just static in your lives. So we as Christians, if we'll take this attitude, does that mean we're not going to have a problem? No. Sorry to say, no. Because we have another bit of scripture, John 16, 33, that says this. In this world, you will have trouble. Okay, well that doesn't leave much to the imagination, right? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So there's that exceedingly great again, Jesus Christ. Remember, can you imagine his crucifixion? The Romans thought they had him down. The Pharisees thought they had him down. Satan thought he had him down. And 3 days later, he was back again. 3 days later, he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for what he accomplished. Hypernikeo, exceedingly more than is needed. His salvation is exceedingly more than you need, folks. We have no need to work our way into heaven. We cannot do that. We owe a debt that cannot be paid back. Christ did it all. It's exceedingly more than we need. And we can apply that to our lives today. We can apply that. See, in order to be an overcomer, you have to have something to overcome, right? I've said this before. In order to have a testimony, you have to be put to the test. Or you don't have one. In order for me to say to you, I know what it feels like to lose your mom. I have to have lost mine to know that. I know what it's like to live without Christ, and I know what it's like to live with Him. With Him's better, folks. That's hypernikeo. That is living an exceeding life in Jesus Christ. I don't see how in the world people today live without Jesus Christ. How in the world do you take care of problems? How in the world do you have a belief in anything? But in this world, you will have trouble. That scripture says that plainly. But take heart, I've overcome the world. You are an overcomer today. And many people will say, well, I'm just an ordinary Christian. Folks, let me tell you today, there are no ordinary Christians. There's not a little bitty Christian and a great big Christian. You're exceedingly more because you're a Christian. You have royal blood running through your veins of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God Himself offered you that gift. No different than He would have handed it to you. He set up everything. He totally demolished the bad things in your life by doing that. But there's no such thing. You are a Spirit-filled Christian. Revelation 12 tells us this, and I don't believe we have it in the handout, but it tells you this, that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame the devil. You have that in your lives because of the blood of the Lamb and because of their testimony. What's our testimony? It's the story of who God is and what God's done. God doesn't need to part the Red Sea again. We've already read that. Wouldn't that be a waste of things for Him to do it again? We don't have to see Jesus crucified with our own eyes to know that that happened to Him. And see Him 3 days later and say, you know what, that's really a fact. What the Bible said was true. That's proof enough for me. The Bible is proof enough already. God has already done these things. It's a roadmap for us. It's something to make us take that step into being exceedingly more than a conqueror. There's one other thing we can do, and that's fight. You don't think of a Christian as being violent, do you? Fighting. But it's a fight every day. When you did not know Christ, you didn't have many battles because Satan already had you. There was no need to oppose him. When you accepted Jesus Christ, that's when the battle begins. You're his enemy. And he's going to come against you. The Bible says we will have trouble. But don't worry about it. I've overcome all that. I've overcome all that. Story of David. Remember little David, the shepherd. He was the least of the least. He was the youngest son. And they kept going through the oldest and the biggest and the strongest and the most knowledgeable. And Samuel said, no, 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 no. It's none of these. Don't you have any more? He said, well, I've got one, the little ruddy guy that's tending sheep out in the pasture. We'll go get him. So they sent word, bring him back. Samuel said, that's the one. He was a teenager. He wasn't a man. He tended the flock. He took care of his dad's sheep. And while the army stood on one hill and the Philistines were on the other, their champion would come out and hurl insults to the God of Abraham. David says, who is this guy? He said, he was wanting a champion to come and fight him. Now, a champion doesn't lose what but one time, right? He's not a champion anymore if he does lose. So we got to win. David said, I'll fight him. He said, man, you're just a kid. He said, oh, don't worry about me. I fought off lions and I fought off bears and I fought off threats to these sheep. I took care of them. I'll fight him. He said, you can't even wear my armor. It's too big for you. He said, I can't wear this. It's heavy. I can't move. See, all those people saw Goliath and little David. And they saw it as this. That guy is too big for you to beat. He's too big. The obstacle, the odds are so great, you can't accomplish that. David saw it like this. He's too big for me to miss. And he killed him for the glory of God. He said, you won't insult my God. I'll kill you. I'm going to take your head off before the day's over with. And that's what he did. Became the king of Israel, one of the greatest kings ever was with them. And that's who you are today. You're an overcomer. You can beat the odds with Jesus Christ. You can compensate for these problems in your life. You can deal with sicknesses because of who you are in Christ. My wife went to a seminar yesterday, and there was a woman telling a story of someone that had cancer. I've seen that twice in my own life, and it's not pretty. And she began to take chemo. And with all chemo, her hair began to fall out. And it got down to a point where one morning she was getting dressed and putting on her makeup and things that women do. And she had three hairs left. She said, this morning I'll braid my hair. And she went about her business. The next day she only had two. She said, today I'll part my hair. And she finished her day. The next day she said, she only had one hair left. She said, well, I'll put that in a ponytail. And she finished her day. The next day she had none. She said, thank God I don't have to fix my hair today. It's the attitude in which we carry what we have inside us. You have a power, all you have to do is let it go. To be hupernikeo, exceedingly more than what you are. And folks, you're that now. It's just letting it go and living it. It's not, hey, you know what? When I get my act together and I start coming to church more regularly, and when I read my Bible more every day, and when I learn X amount of Bible verses, I'm going to come around and I'll do that. You're that now. And that's not what I'm saying. That's what God says. You're that now. You're more than a conqueror. Exceedingly more. You can demolish the problems in your life by the power of Jesus Christ. Our scripture tells us that at the mention of Jesus' name, demons in hell tremble with fear. That's the conqueror again. You hear the name of Jesus and you tremble in fear. You have power. But as an overcomer, we fight with conquering attitudes, not ones that concede. Not ones that weaken and cower down. I'll assure you, folks, meek does not mean weak. It means you're in control. It means you're confident with who has given you that authority. But if you're a Christian today, you have that in you. And let me encourage you as an overcomer to fight with attitudes. Fight with a conquering attitude. Because too many people get up and they say, well, you know, I'm going through a hard time, but I guess it's okay, just case of raw wishy-washy faith that just goes from one side to the other. Weak faith when it should be strong. You can't live a life of hoponikeo, kind of exceedingly more, if we sit with that kind of faith. If we waver back and forth, well, I guess it's meant to be. You know, I'll just try to endure it. I reckon God wants me miserable. He probably doesn't notice what's going on in my life. Yeah, right. God makes it his business to be there before you wake up in the morning as a Christian today. God follows you through your day. People even get like that about prayer, folks. Faith-filled attitudes lead to faith-filled actions. Godly behavior, it leads you to belief deep in yourself who you are and where you're at in life. It allows God to act and move you to different levels in your life. God has to be the motivation for that. The battle starts in your mind. It has to. You can't go around saying, well, I guess I'm just a victim. God's not blessing me as good as he's blessing you. I'm just a victim of this. We can't have that. God says different. See, when you go around, nothing ever goes right for me. I guess God's got it in for me. That's a victim's attitude. You are not a victim. With Jesus Christ as your Savior, as a Christian today, you're not a victim, you're a victor. You've won. You're in a status that tells you that you're more than conquerors. You're more than that. You're a victor. But you can defeat yourself in your mind before you ever get started. Well, there's no use to try. They've already got a head start in the race. I might as well just give up, go back home. No, get out there and catch them. Get out there and pass them. Give it all you have. Paul, one of his writings, he says, I've run a good race. I've fought a good fight. He said, if you're going to run a race, don't run to come in second. Does anybody ever say, well, as long as I finish fourth, I'll be good. That's going to satisfy me. You run to win. You compete to win. God says you're a winner. You have overcome. You are more than conquerors. That's what God says. A lot of times we get in an impossible situation. Something bad, tragic happens. And folks, this is common. It's normal, I guess. Till you get to a point in your life that you say, you know what, that's not me anymore. But you'll say, well, I guess all I can do now is pray. When it should be, no, now I can pray. Can you imagine God thinking he gets the last, you know, all that's left to do now is pray. Well, he gets the last shot at it. He should have got the first, right? Before you get in that auto accident, pray for God's clearance of your way before you leave and when you're coming back. Pray for your children before they leave to go to school, that the world will be sheltered around them and away from them, the influences of the world, the addictions of this world, that it bounces off of them. Pray before it happens. Don't wait till it does. Don't use God as a last resort. Use him first. Prayer is so strong, folks. It's real. It's alive. And it's supposed to be. You're more than an overcomer. If a non-Christian cannot call on the name of God and be answered in that way, they can pray the sinner's prayer. They can let God come that way. But we have a fellowship because of Jesus Christ. We have a union with God because of him. And since you are an overcomer, don't let anything anybody says, does, or talks about you and hurts your feelings. Walk on through it. Can they really hurt you? Well, you know what? I spoke to so-and-so and they didn't even speak to me this morning. I said hello. I was trying to be nice. They just walked right by. See, we don't know what happened in that person's life. You don't know what they're carrying this morning. Maybe we need to go up, hey, listen, is anything wrong? Can I help you? Can I help you with a burden? Don't let things around you affect who you are in Jesus Christ. Don't let it change you. If you're an overcomer, there's nothing can overcome you. There's not a problem that big. It says God is bigger than that. So our attitudes have to be right. Our attitudes have to be on godly things. Well, you know, if God loves me enough to send his son and nothing can separate me from the love of Christ, and if God's for us, who can be against us? And I'm supposed to be more than a conqueror. What can harm me? What can sidetrack me as a Christian today? What if Jesus would have said, you know what, guys, I've thought about it. I'm out of here. I'm not going through with this thing tomorrow. Or what if when they were beating him in the courtyard, an army of soldiers, a company of soldiers beating him beyond recognition, if he would have just said, oh, stop. I believe Rome would have been leveled. I believe it would have been stopped. It said there was a legion of angels awaiting his command. See, they didn't take his life. He gave it. And he gave it so you could have life more abundantly. You can have that hupernikeo life. You can be more than a conqueror. You can be more than we could be without him. There's no problem that's going to take that away. You have the power to overcome any temptation in this world. If we're going to fight, we also have to fight with supernatural weapons. That's the second thing when we fight. We're not limited to the weapons of this world. You have the helmet of salvation. We read in Ephesians 6, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shoes shod with the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Do you folks notice anything about that armament? It's described from what, head to toe. It said his shoes, the belt, the breastplate, the helmet, the sword, the shield. Notice the backside has no protection. Doesn't describe that, does it? That means you don't run. You don't have to flee. You can stand there. It says you can withstand the fiery darts from the evil one because of this Jesus Christ that made you an overcomer, that made you more than a conqueror. That's strong stuff, folks. There's nothing this world can do to put you down if you don't let it. If you have the attitude that, you know what, God is for me, who can be against me? Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Not all these things that Paul described. None of them can. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4 tells us this. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's our spiritual armament that God's given us. There's a Greek word called dynamis. That means dynamite in our language. An explosive power. An explosive power. You have that at your disposal because of Jesus Christ. We have the living Word of God. We have God's guidance. We have God's love. We have a Savior in Jesus Christ. But we fight with spiritual weapons. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony of your word. Jesus says, don't worry about the world and the problems in it. I've overcome all that. And you with me. Don't worry about it. Second Corinthians 4, 7 through 9 tells us, but we have the treasure in jars of clay to show that this all surpasses power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. And we're struck down, but not destroyed. This treasure we have in jars of clay, that treasure is Jesus Christ. The jars of clay is us. We talked about last week, God being the potter and we being the clay. This treasure we have is inside of us, the Holy Spirit, our guide and our comfort. We are overcomers, folks. The battle's been won. We act this out on the benefit of others to bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can overcome. If you're an overcomer today, there's nothing you can. You can overcome unforgiveness from a person. Break any addiction. You can mend any marriage that's been in moral combat with each other. You can make peace with even your enemies. You can move yourself from a dead-end job. I've seen God do that with me. He can elevate you and he can promote you to something else. But it's got to be because of the way you stand for him. You can't be wishy-washy. Well, I hope God helps me out. You should know God will help you out. Now, it may be not exactly what you want, because some things we want are not good for us. But God knows. And if we trust him, if we live our lives in that Hooper Nikeo type mode, exceeding and everything, we're more than a conqueror. We're more than an overcomer. God will bless you for that. And we say, well, I don't know if God will do that for me. It says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13 says that. First John 4:4 tells us this. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome the evil ones, because the one who is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. We don't have to do the battle. The battle has been won. We have to be obedient. I can't tell you guys enough. If you could see yourself spiritually, if you could see what mighty people of valor you are, what mighty warriors and overcomers that you are, but you have to look inside. You have to look in spirit. You have to look deep within you where Jesus is in these jars of clay. You have to pray, not with a wishing attitude, but a knowing attitude. And folks, it's not who we are. Please understand that today. It's not who we are. It's who God is. It's what God said, not what I'm saying, Not what I'm hoping for you. It's what God said to you. That you are more than overcomers. Don't get kicked around by the world. You got more power within you than they'll ever have. Don't let them push you. You're not a doormat because you're a Christian today. You're a child of God. I want you to know today, if nothing else, that you are winners because of Jesus Christ. This world cannot overcome you. You overcome it. You can't be defeated by anything it has. You're winners. You're more than overcomers. You're more than conquerors. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today for an opportunity.